This is the moment. This is the time of gladness, the rebirthing of love. Listen, listen for the sounds of joy.
Here among our everyday places, here among our ordinary lives, is the emerging of grace. Watch, watch for the signs of the holy.
In this time, in every time, we hold our breath in awe for the wonder of Christ, for this is Christmas.
Good morning, everyone. It's hard to believe that it's this time of year again. A bright star shines among us this beautiful Christmas morning. Thank you to Oisin from Highland Radio for giving Donegal Hospice this wonderful opportunity to celebrate Christmas with the people of Donegal and all here present. My name is Mary. I'm the Assistant Director of the Community Palliative Care Services. I wish to say hello to all our listeners in the hospice, hospitals, and all in their own homes throughout the county. Special thanks to Reverend Jim Lamont for organising this wonderful annual hospice carol service, to all our chaplains in our hospice, hospitals, and those visiting in our homes. A big welcome to the lovely students of the Trenton National School, their principal Norma, her assistants Carl and Heather, whose presence here this morning enhances this service beautifully. To our faithful organist Diane and our lovely soloist Winnie. To our hospice committee and volunteers who have decorated the unit so beautifully. Sending joy, peace, love and prayers to all our patients and their families, both in hospice and in the home care setting. Remembering especially all those whom we have cared for and are no longer with us. On behalf of the Donegal Hospice staff and the community home care staff, we wish you all a joyful, peaceful Christmas. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the coming of the Messiah. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the governor shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Living Lord, we come again to worship you as the one who came to be born in that Bethlehem stable, to share with each other all the rich possibilities and assurings of faith. We come to find each other in the light of your love, to seek your truth, and to praise your glory. Amen.
Yeah.
Let us pray. God of grace, embracing us with hope, we worship and adore you. God of mercy, liberating us from sin, we worship and adore you. God of peace, releasing us from sorrow, we worship and adore you. Loving God, as we remember you as the one who came amongst us in Jesus Christ, how can we but worship you this day? Your concern for us is complete. Your love for us without measure. Your trust in us much more than we deserve. We worship you in wonder, love and praise as we hear you calling to us, urging us towards justice and bidding us to be as salt, light and leaven in the world. Father, as we come to celebrate the good news of your coming on this Christmas day, may we know your closeness, open our lives to you, and share your love with others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Of great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you is born this day a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord.
The noise and the bustle began earlier than usual in the town. As night gave way to the dawn, people were already on the streets. Vendors were positioning themselves on the corners of the most heavily travelled avenues. Store owners were unlocking the doors to their shops. Children were awakened by the excited barking of the street dogs and the complaints of the donkeys pulling carts.
The owner of the inn had awakened earlier than most in the town. After all, the inn was full, all the beds taken. Every available mat or blanket had been put to use. Soon all the customers would be stirring, and there would be a lot of work to do.
One's imagination is kindled, thinking about the conversation of the innkeeper and his family at the breakfast table. Did anyone mention the arrival of the young couple the night before? Did anyone comment on the pregnancy of the girl and the donkey? Perhaps. Perhaps someone raised the subject. But, at best, it was raised, not discussed. There was nothing that novel about them. They were, possibly, one of the several families turned away that night.
Besides, who had time to talk about them when there was so much excitement in the air? Augustus did the economy of Bethlehem a favour when he decreed that a census should be taken. Who could remember when there was such commerce had hit the town?
No, it is doubtful that anyone mentioned the couple's arrival or wondered about the condition of the girl. They were too busy. The day was upon them. The day's bread had to be made. The morning's chores had to be done. There was too much to do to imagine that the impossible had occurred.
God had entered the world as a baby.
Meanwhile, the city is busy. The merchants are unaware that God has visited their planet. The innkeeper would never believe that he had just sent God into the cold. And the people would scoff at anyone who told them the Messiah lay in the arms of a teenager on the outskirts of their town. They were all too busy to consider the possibility.
Those who missed His Majesty's arrival that night missed it not because of evil acts or malice. No, they missed it because they simply weren't looking.
Little has changed in the last 2,000 years, has it?
For God's love reached down to the world, and the world was indifferent to it.
He came to His own, and His own people would not receive Him.
It all happened in a moment, a most remarkable moment.
As moments go, that one appeared no different than any other. If you could somehow pick it up off a timeline and examine it, it would look exactly like the ones that have passed while you have heard these words. It came and it went. It was preceded and succeeded by others just like it. It was one of those countless moments that have marked time since eternity became measurable.
But in reality, that particular moment was like none other. For through that segment of time, a spectacular thing occurred. God became a man. While the creatures of earth walked unaware, divinity arrived. Heaven opened herself and placed her most precious one in a human womb.
The Omnipotent, in one instant, made Himself breakable. He who had been spirit became pierceable. He who was larger than the universe became an embryo. And he who stains the world with a word chose to be dependent upon the nourishment of a young girl. God had come near.
He came not as a flash of light or as an unapproachable conqueror, but as one whose first cries were heard by a peasant girl and a sleepy carpenter. The hands that first held him were unmanicured, calloused, and dirty.
No silk, no ivory, no hype, no party, no cards of congratulations.
Were it not for the shepherds, there would have been no reception. And were it not for a group of stargazers, there would have been no gifts. The first moment of transformation went unnoticed by the world. But you can bet your life that the second one won't. The next time you use the phrase, just a moment, remember that's all the time it will take to change the world.
In just that moment of time, God was revealed his love for us for all the time.
It all happened in a moment. In one moment, a most remarkable moment, the Word became flesh.
To steal the
Do you ever sit and wonder about that first Christmas?
Think about it. Here was God, who has always been, who has always made everything, the source of all life and truth, powerful beyond our imagination. God, a baby in a manger, in a stable, in a small town in Palestine.
God on earth, God with us. And apart from his mother and father, and her cousin Elizabeth, and a few more family friends, maybe apart from these people and a few local shepherds, and some stargazers from hundreds of miles away, who knew something was happening? But they weren't sure when or where. Nobody knew about it.
Can you imagine that? For unto you is born this day in the town of David a Saviour who is Christ, the Lord. And on the other side of town, or even a few streets away, or maybe even next door, people were eating and drinking, arguing and loving, worrying, smiling, living and dying, totally unaware that the Emmanuel, the Messiah they'd been waiting for so long, had come to them.
Now I know things back then were a lot different than they are now. I mean, look at it when some pop star or sporting star or even a famous world leader appears to the town. Think of all the hype, all the preparation, the security arrangements and media coverage. You have seen it happen, haven't you? So often on the television and in newspaper headlines, all the hype and excitement and hysteria.
And here was Jesus, God in human form, and nothing. No welcoming committee, no civic receptions, no cheering crowds, no day off school for the children. Just his mother and father, a few shepherds in from the fields, and the animals in the barn. It doesn't seem right, somehow.
And yet, when we think about what Jesus became, about the things he said and did, about his life and death, that first Christmas really couldn't have happened any other way, could it?
No doubt Santa Claus will have already arrived and the children will be enjoying their presents, and I hope they are happy with what they got. The turkey or the goose will be ready in the oven and the smell of cooking will be wafting from the kitchen. And if you haven't already opened your presents, you will be later. It is Christmas time, and our hope is that you will experience the joy and the love that Christmas Day brings. Typical of last-minute Christmas shoppers, a mother is running furiously from one shop to the other, and suddenly she became aware that the podgy little hand of her three-year-old was no longer with her. In a panic, she retraced her steps and found him standing with his little nose pressed flatly against the frosty window. He was gazing at the manger scene. Hearing his mother's near hysterical call, he turned and shouted with innocent glee, "Look, Mummy, it's Jesus, baby Jesus in the hay." With obvious indifference to his joy and wonder, she impatiently jerked him away, saying, "We don't have time for that. In the midst of all your festivities today, will you take time for him and focus on what Christmas really means? Just to take some time to consider how the creator of the universe, with its countless stars and planets, is born in a stable in Bethlehem as a helpless child. As the disciple John at the beginning of his gospel says, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." The point of this verse, "the Word became flesh," is that in the midst of our agonies in this life that some of you may be experiencing at this very moment, we are not alone. For God chose in his infinite grace to be born in that stable in Bethlehem, into a world of tragedies, of broken dreams, of crushed hopes, and of merciless demands, of sorrow and regret. God came so that he could give us hope. He came to walk with us and tread the same path we tread through life. He came and he grieved, suffered, was fearful, and died, just as we grieve and suffer and are fearful and die. The good news of Christmas is that God hasn't kept to himself, separate from all the troubles and the pain, looking down with an indifferent look from a distance, but he has come right here into the middle of it all. He is truly Emmanuel. God is with us. And perhaps someone here today or someone listening today, he is suffering, he is sorrowing, he is bowed down by some particular problem or frustrated by pain, needs to hear that. That God is here, here in this hospice and wherever you are at this moment. That God is with you and he understands what you're going through. Christmas tells us God is not detached and separate from our world. He is in the world with us. He has come to hug us and hold us tight, even though sin makes us unattractive and unlovable. As one person has said, Jesus took people where they were and loved them into life. He reached into their deepest parts, found their goodness, and showed it to them in the way that he treated them. And that's the good news of this Christmas day. May it be a happy one for you, and it can be when you realize that Jesus is sharing it with you. Now, will you take some time for him today? For he always has time for you. Do not give up on hope, and have a very happy Christmas day.
Let us pray. We bless you, our God, mighty sovereign power. You do not forget your children, and in the sending of your Son to be born as one of us, you share in our humanity. And you bless us with your forgiving love, with a vision of your kindness shedding light in our darkness. Bless us and disturb us, God, with a vision of your kingdom. And as we voice our hopes to you now, may they strengthen us, reassure us, and move us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers. We pray for those caught up in wars around the world. We pray for homeless people excluded from what the rest of us are doing, cold, struggling to keep a hold on who they are. Those for whom this season will be anything but joyful, because they lack so much of what we take for granted. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
We pray for people who are ill, coping with pain, fearing the worst, worrying about what the future may hold, those concerned about their own health or the health of a loved one. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
Lord, as we pray for the work of healing, we thank you for the work of this hospice, and we pray for all the patients and their relatives who experienced your love and compassion in this place. We pray for every member of staff that they may experience your strength and be touched by your grace, and that all who will be cared for here in the months and years to come may experience the peace of Christ in their lives. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers.
We pray for people on this Christmas Day struggling in relationships, especially at this family time, where the cracks are kept just below the surface. For those who are sorrowful because a loved one is no longer with them at the Christmas table, we pray for those who are sharing with us in our worship today, wherever they may be at this moment, at home, in the car, in hospital, or in some other part of the world, that they too may experience the peace and joy and the hope that comes through Christ. Lord, in your mercy.
And for the deepest hopes of our hearts, we pray now in the silence. Lord, in your mercy.
Lord, on this Christmas Day and in the year to come, help us to share your gift with others, for that's what you intended. And may there indeed be peace on earth and goodwill among men and women everywhere. In the name of the Prince of Peace, we offer you these prayers. Amen. Amen. Mary's dream. I had a dream, Joseph. I don't understand it, but I think it was about a birthday celebration for our son. The people in my dream had been preparing for about 6 weeks. They had decorated the house and bought new clothes. They'd gone shopping many times and bought many elaborate gifts. It was peculiar, though, because the presents weren't for our son. They wrapped them in beautiful paper and stacked them under a tree. Yes, a tree, Joseph, right inside their homes. They decorated the tree with sparkling ornaments. There was a figure like an angel on the top of the tree. Everyone was laughing and happy. They gave the gifts to each other, Joseph, not to our son. I don't think they even knew him. They never mentioned his name. I had the strangest feeling that if our Jesus had gone to this celebration, he would have been intruding. How sad for someone not to be wanted at his own birthday party. I'm glad it was only a dream. How terrible, Joseph, if it had been real. Remember to make room for Jesus at your Christmas celebrations today, and may you have a very happy, restful, and peaceful Christmas day.
And may the joy, peace, and goodwill of Christmas be yours today, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, now and forever. Amen.
We wish you a Merry